Hello, and welcome to the second episode in this BISA mini-series for educational suppliers on how to best prepare for a no-deal Brexit. In this episode, we're looking at how the movement of goods will be affected by a no-deal Brexit. The free movement of goods is one of the four freedoms of EU law, along with the free movement of services, capital, and people. It has been overseen by the rules and regulations of the EU Customs Union and the Single Market. After Brexit, the trade of goods will no longer be governed by the EU treaties and case law. Instead, it will be ruled by the World Trade Organization's General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, GATT for short. This means UK businesses trading into the EU will pay tariffs on exports for the first time in 46 years. Before we look at how things will operate under the World Trade Organization's GATT rules, let's look at how things currently work within the EU Customs Union and Single Market. The Customs Union is a free trade area for goods. In it, products circulate freely, with no need for customs checks at borders. The Customs Union is free because EU member countries have agreed to abolish tariffs on a lot of goods. This means that 49% of the UK's exports to the EU and 53% of its imports are currently done without paying tariffs. For any goods originating from outside the EU, all 28 EU member states apply a common external tariff, which protects EU countries having their prices undercut by foreign competitors who can exploit cheaper labour or benefit from state subsidies. When products enter the EU from a third-party country, customs checks are carried out to determine the country of origin, apply the correct tariffs, and ensure they've complied with all customs regulations. Once the products enter the customs union, they circulate freely because they've already been checked. A lot of educational suppliers' products are made from supplies that are imported from a number of EU member states. If each of these supplies have to pay tariffs when crossing a border, production costs will increase dramatically. Businesses will be forced to find a domestic supplier, reduce their margins, or pass the cost on to the customer. Now, let's turn to the single market. The single market is a much more ambitious form of a free trade area because it includes the free movement of services, capital, and people in addition to goods. The most important feature of the single market is that it seeks to harmonise the regulations that apply to products so that businesses compete on a level playing field and customers' best interests are protected. For example, the EU stops national measures that directly or indirectly discriminate against other EU member countries' goods. So if the UK put a tax on foreign textbooks, the EU would deem it illegal because it gives UK publishers an unfair advantage. Also, the EU may keep customers' interests at heart by ruling that all textbooks have to be made with a certain quality of paper, which prevents a regulatory race to the bottom, where publishers compete to produce the cheapest product while sacrificing quality. So that's how things currently are. Now let's look at the implications of a no-deal Brexit on the movement of goods. In the event of a no-deal, almost all the measures that facilitate the trade and transportation of goods in the EU will fall away. Businesses will likely face troublesome customs procedures, lengthy declarations, and long delays at the border. As I mentioned earlier, UK businesses trading into the EU will now pay tariffs on exports. These tariffs will be applied on 90% of UK exports. That's the bad news. The good news is that the UK has committed to ensuring that 86% of goods imported into the UK will be tariff-free. To continue trading into the EU after Brexit, all UK businesses will need to have an EORI number, that's Economic Operator Registration and Identification Number. Without an EORI number, the EU won't allow you to export into the European Union. The government will automatically be issuing EORI numbers to VAT-registered businesses in the coming weeks. Small businesses that fall below the VAT register will need to apply for an EORI number online at www.gov.uk/EORI. To stop your imports having to undergo lengthy declarations and costly customs checks at the UK border, we highly recommend you register for Transitional Simplified Procedures, also known as TSP. Transitional Simplified Procedures reduce the amount of information that importers from the EU need to give on a declaration when goods cross the border. It allows them to defer giving a full declaration until after the goods cross the border and lets them pay any duty up to a month after the import. You can register for Transitional Simplified Procedures online. In March this year, Her Majesty's Treasury published the tariff rates it will apply to different categories of goods imported into the UK after Brexit. The government also recently launched an online trade tariff search tool. Here are a couple of examples that relate to educational suppliers. There is no tariff for the import of paper. The tariff for stationery is likely to be 2.7%. The tariff for textiles, including clothing, will range from 3.5% to 12%. Do take the time to double-check these, as the tariffs for different items within categories can vary a lot. Now, the tariffs we looked at were for imports. In terms of exports, educational suppliers will be subject to the Integrated Tariff of the European Union, which is known as TARIC. The EU applies this tariff to all third-party countries, which after January the 31st would include the UK. The average tariff on UK goods exported into the EU will be 4.3%. You can see the export tariffs your goods will be subject to by checking the European Union's TARIC database online. Here are a few examples that relate to educational suppliers. Paper will be charged a tariff of up to 6.5%. Stationery will be charged 3.7%. And textiles between 6.5% to 12%. Companies that rely on cross-border supply chains risk substantial cost increases here too, because they will have to bear the cost of customs checks on each of the materials they import from EU member states. According to the CBI, the Confederation for British Industry, costs for these companies could triple. The Chartered Institute for Procurement Services reported that 32% of British businesses who use EU supply chains are looking for British replacements. During this turbulent time for Britain, a significant risk is also posed by currency volatility. Due to the weakening pound, 60% of businesses that use EU suppliers have reported that their supply chains are more expensive. Businesses can protect themselves against a further fall in the pound by contracting in sterling rather than euros when purchasing goods. There are two advantages to this. The first is it protects you against an unexpected price rise caused by a further fall in the pound in the time between agreeing a contract and delivery of the goods. The second is contracting in sterling avoids the risk of increased costs and slower processing times for euro transactions after Brexit. It is worth seriously considering whether your business's supply chain can be brought within the UK, because delays at the UK border are expected to be huge. Research by the Imperial College London found that 2 minutes spent by every vehicle at a customs port can more than triple queues on adjacent motorways for up to 29 miles. 38% of UK businesses' European customers have already switched to an EU supplier, and a further 60% of European businesses say they plan to abandon UK suppliers if delays at the border extend to more than 2 to 3 weeks. Another option for your business is to engage the services of a customs broker, freight forwarder, or logistics planner. According to the Confederation for British Industry, 45% of British businesses plan to or have already engaged these services. And finally, what about everyone else? How will the UK's trade with the rest of the world be affected? As a member of the EU, UK exporters of goods benefit from free trade agreements, or FTAs, that the EU has with about 88 partners around the world. These FTAs include large and small economies. Together, they account for 14 to 15% of the UK's trading goods. The UK will no longer be party to these agreements after January the 31st. However, it has signed roll-on agreements with many of these third-party countries. These replicate the terms of the FTAs in separate agreements. Crucially for educational suppliers, agreements have already been completed with important markets such as South Korea, Israel, and Switzerland. For countries where no roll-on agreements or continuity agreements exist, it is expected that the UK will trade according to the World Trade Organization's terms on trade in goods. These terms will be governed by the WTO's General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, GATT. You can consult the WTO's tariff rates for different categories of goods online by accessing its Tariffs Analysis Facility. Many legal experts say that the UK can't simply move to the WTO's trade terms, at least not in the short term. The UK would have to produce its own schedule covering each of the 5,000 plus product lines in the WTO agreement. This schedule would then have to be agreed on by all 163 WTO member states in the parliamentary sitting days left before Brexit. And the sheer volume of domestic legislation that would need to be passed before the UK could trade under WTO rules presents a huge obstacle for Britain. There are 9 statutes and 600 statutory rules that would need to be adopted. BISA will be monitoring the development of this issue and updating members as clarity emerges. The next 2 episodes will focus on how the movement of services and the movement of data are going to be affected by a no-deal Brexit. Thanks a lot for listening.